We have sung a number of carols this evening, speaking of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are part of our culture, they're part of our tradition. We have grown up singing them, and probably, even though we've had the words up on the screen and had them written in books, with a lot of them, we know them off by heart. So, what's the point of going through this year after year? What is the point in rising up into a lather of sweat, a frenzy, just to get ourselves ready for one particular day? Well, the reason is because the events of the first Christmas were a world-changing event. And what happened that day was unique in the whole of history. God had visited this earth at different times for a brief period. But the Bible tells us that at that first Christmas, God became man. And he lived among us. He left the glory of heaven, and he came to this world, which he had created in the first place, but which had been damaged by the sin of human beings, by their desiring to turn against God. And rather than sitting in heaven in his glory and in his justice, in his holiness, which is part of God's character, he came in love, because he wanted to change what seemed to be an inescapable judgment that would come upon the whole of humanity. But we as a church have been looking at a couple of verses over this Christmas period. They're found in John 1, and they say this: he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Now we're working our way through this, these two verses, and God willing, by Christmas morning, we will be focusing on that great statement, the children of God. But we've got a promise here that God is so concerned for us that he came into the world in order that we as human beings might become the children of God, that we might live eternally in God's presence, that we might enjoy his forgiveness. Now, John talks about this in different ways throughout his gospel. He says that Jesus came to give us life, and that life is eternal life. But another thing that he says is that he did not come to condemn. Jesus didn't come into the world to say, you lot have failed, and therefore I am going to destroy you. No, he came into the world and he said, all humanity has fallen short of God's glory, but I'm going to show you a way that that can be put right. I am going to provide a way that that may be put right. And we're told that even the night when Jesus was born, he came to his own people, as it says in this translation, but they didn't receive him. But there were people who received him. But we're also told here that not only did some people receive him, but they believed him. They believed in his name. And in a way, I want to ask a question tonight. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? That God is so interested in individual human beings. We think of God as so vast, it's impossible to measure him. We're told that when he designed the world, he holds the oceans in the palm of his hand. We can't conceive of it, can we? How great he is. But he is interested and he knows Every human being that has walked this earth. And Jesus came, in a way, to speak to every human being. And because he has spoken, he demands a response. This morning we were looking at the fact that we have to receive the gift that God has given. And that gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want to make it clear that we have to believe what God has said, and we have to trust the one that God has sent. We are told here that those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Now, if I was to come round tonight and ask you, do you have faith? Do you have belief? You'd say, oh yes, there are many different forms of faith in the world today. There are many different religions. And in fact, I have got my own faith. But friends, this verse tells us that our faith, our belief, has to be focused. It has to be focused on one particular person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told in the Bible that we have to believe certain things. And this word belief says that, yeah, we have to be given facts and we have to believe those facts. In this chapter, if I'd read it tonight, it would have told us, and we saw this earlier in our course of study, that Jesus is God. He was with God and he is eternal like God. And yet, he became a human being. You have to believe that, because that is what the Bible teaches. But it goes on, and it says that anyone who has lived at enmity, at a distance from God, in opposition to God, if they receive him, if they receive the message, if they believe in him, then they can become the children of God. They can be adopted into the family of God. Can you believe that? You might say, no, that's beyond me. And in many ways, it is beyond us. But this is the essence of Christianity. We have to believe these things. We have to believe that Jesus came because we have a need. That need is forgiveness. It is asking, or the need is that someone would pay the price of our sin, of our failure, of our distancing ourselves from God. And this verse says to us that if we believe those things, then we can become the children of God. You say, that's marvelous. But is it? Why do we find it so hard to believe the teaching of the Bible? Well, the main reason, I want to give you two or three reasons, but the first one that I want to give you tonight is that we find it so hard to believe this because it demands that we change the way we think about ourselves. Let's be honest. We don't really want to say that we've failed. Oh, he's failed. She's failed. That one has failed. But me, you know, it's only a little bit with me. But the Bible says that Jesus has come to pay the price of our sin that we might become the children of God. We are born without God and without hope in the world. So we have to change our thinking. And that, the root idea of that is that we have to repent. We have to say, yes, I've got it wrong. But this idea of believing also means that we have got to trust somebody else. How many of us actually say, well, I got myself into this mess, I've got to get myself out. I'm not prepared to tell somebody else the real state that I'm in, because if I do, I will feel so embarrassed. And in fact, they won't want to help me then. But friends, I want to tell you tonight that God knows your heart anyway. And if you are prepared to trust him, then he is prepared to take responsibility for every failure on your part to do God's will. And he is prepared to forgive all who confess their sin before him. For those who believe in his name. But there's a third thing that I want to tell you about believing. It's not just believing tonight. It's not just believing in this service. It is believing to the end of your earthly life. Because if you believe to the end of your earthly life, then you have the assurance that you will be taken into the presence of God. Jesus said, the one who endures to the end will be saved. So the Christian message demands focused belief, who believed in his name. I've already touched on a second aspect of what belief is. It's a saving belief. It's not just a cold intellectual belief. It's not just getting information. Yes, I believe this, I believe that, I believe the other. We can believe those things and them have no effect on us. But this verse says that we are to believe in his name. The name of Jesus is, well, we know him as Jesus, but in some of our readings tonight, we have been given a few different names for Jesus. At the beginning, I talked about him being Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. But in some of the readings, we heard that his name will be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Another name that was given is that his name is Emmanuel. And that means that God is always with us. We don't treat our names with the respect that they used to in Bible days. A name that was given to a person in Bible days spoke of their character. It spoke of who they were. And these two names about the Lord Jesus speak about his commitment to what he has come to do. Call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Do you understand that? That there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now many people are afraid to come to the Lord Jesus and ask him to forgive them because they say, well, if I become a Christian, I'm afraid that I might not keep it up. I'll trust him tonight, but will I be able to trust him tomorrow? Well, we thank God that his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And in those times when we feel that we're going to fail, he comes alongside us in the person of the Holy Spirit. He comforts us, he strengthens us, he supports us. And he says, okay, you have failed. But remember, Jesus came to save. Go to him now and ask him to forgive your sin. Tonight, I want you to remember that the name of Jesus is a saving name. It's the only name under heaven whereby we can be saved. But you might say to me, Bernard, you're speaking from the Bible. And the most recent books that form the Bible were written, you know, within the first 100 or so years after the Lord Jesus. That's nearly 2,000 years ago. Is that really relevant today? Yes, it is. Because Jesus Christ is the eternal God, The Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His promises never change. So it is those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who will become the children of God. Your faith has to be focused on him. You have to believe that it is a saving faith. And the final thing that I want to show you from this tonight is that it is an essential faith. There's no alternative. There is salvation in no other. There are a couple of men in the Bible who asked the same question, but they asked it in a slightly different way. One man asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Another man asked the Apostle Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" And perhaps that's how you feel tonight. I've got to do something about this. If I'm going to be saved, surely I have got to do something. And I remember an elderly lady in our church a few years ago. She had got to that point in life where sadly she was suffering from dementia. And she kept asking the question, "What is required of me? What is required of me? What must I do to be saved?" Do you know the answer? Nothing. Nothing apart from believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me put it like this. This is a very poor illustration. You are given the gift of the latest Jaguar car. All the best upholstery, all the best fittings, and you take delivery of it, and you say, "I don't like the colour of it. So I'll get a paintbrush, and I'll just paint it the way I want to paint it." Will you improve that Jaguar? Absolutely not. You will spoil what has been given to you. I'm not talking to you about Jaguar. I'm not talking to you about a car dealer. I'm talking to you tonight about the eternal God who was so concerned for you that he sent his son into the world. And he said, "I don't want to judge them. I want them to be saved. I want all the problems and the challenges of their life to be given over to me so that they might know peace with God. And I will take all the responsibility for it. I ask only one thing of them, that they believe my promises. They believe my power. They believe my motives." Paul, he wrote to a church and he said, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Friends, I have spoken to you tonight from God's word about an eternal gift given and prepared by God. But there's a limit. There's only one limit. You have to believe. For all that Jesus has done, he is prepared to save all who call upon him in faith. But you cannot think that Jesus came into the world and therefore everybody will be saved. The only people who will be saved is those who have come to that place where they say, "I know my need, and I know what God has provided. I will trust him." Let me ask you tonight, are you prepared to trust him? Will you, this Christmas, receive the greatest gift that God has given? those who believed in his name were given the right to become the children of God. So let's conclude our carol service this evening by singing our final carol, 196, Angels from the Realms of Glory, Wing Your Flight O'er All the Earth. Verse 5 says, Sinners wrung with true repentance, doomed for guilt to endless pain, justice now revokes the sentence, mercy calls you, break your chains. 196.